This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. The international debate on North Korea has reached a big milestone. Monday, a special commission at the United Nations released a report detailing systematic, widespread, and gross human rights violations, which have been perpetrated at the highest levels of North Korean leadership. These violations are so serious and so organized, the commission says that they constitute crimes against humanity comparable to the atrocities committed by Nazi Germany. The UN Special Commission posted a letter to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un warning him that he may be held personally accountable for these crimes at the International Criminal Court. But no matter what goes on outside of North Korea, it's what's happening inside North Korea that truly matters. For more on that, we're joined by Clark Sorensen. He's the director of the Center for Korean Studies at the University of Washington's Jackson School. He's been studying Korea since 1972. Clark, thank you so much for coming over. We appreciate it.
Oh, very glad to be here.
When you first read about this report, what struck you?
The contents of the report weren't new. We've known about North Korean human rights violations for a long time and how horrific they are. These things have even hit the United Nations since about 2005. There was a North Korean Human Rights Act in 2004 that was passed by U.S. Congress. So the facts are well known, at least to specialists. But the visibility of this report, the hard-hitting nature of it, and the fact that they talked about recommending it to the International Court of Justice in The Hague, that's new. And there have been human rights trials in The Hague, you know, the Bosnia trials, the Congo ones. They've even talked about the head of Kenya. So this is, you know, a step further down the road.
Not to diminish Congo or Syria or other places where there have been documented human rights violations, but they've been happening in North Korea for over 50 years.
Yeah, about 65 years now.
Why does the situation persist when in other parts of the world the world community seems to focus on it and pay more attention?
Partly because we have more information about North Korea now than we've had in the past. Part of it has to do with the openness of China, because China is kind of our window on North Korea. So people can go to the border of China and North Korea. They can talk with refugees. Since 1994, when they had the famine, you know, from 1994 to 1996, even as late as 2000, where 600,000 to 800,000 people probably died, there have been a lot of refugee movements out of North Korea. So we've been able to interview refugees. It's really extraordinary that if you compare North and South Korea with East and West Germany, from East Germany there were thousands of refugees or, you know, defectors every year going across the border, no matter how they did. In North Korea, before about 1994, maybe there had been 1,000 in 50 years. Hmm.
These violations are very grave. Arbitrary detention, torture, executions, violations of freedom, restrictions of freedom, mass starvation. Do we know what living under that kind of society has done to the people of North Korea over the last 65 years?
Well, I suppose the most obvious way to answer that is that they're shorter than South Koreans. That physical anthropologists have actually gone in and systematically measured North Korean refugees, and they're about 10 centimeters shorter than South Koreans, which is extraordinary when we think that before World War II, North Koreans were actually taller than South Koreans.
I've heard that if you see a shorter person in Seoul, South Korea, you can pretty much tell they're a refugee from North Korea.
Right. They're enough smaller that they stand out. Last time I was in North Korea, which was, I don't know, about 2005 when I went to the Diamond Mountain tourist area, you could see these soldiers guarding there, and they looked like 14-year-olds, but they were probably in their mid-20s.
Now, China, an ally of North Korea, has criticized this UN report that came out this week reporting on these gross human rights violations. Why does China defend North Korea?
China values North Korea as a buffer state between the United States and its allies and itself. And that's probably the main reason. They don't really like North Korea anymore, but they don't want North Korea to collapse. So that's one reason. The other thing is that both North Korea and China agree that national sovereignty trumps human rights. North Koreans have said point blank that national sovereignty is human rights. The Chinese haven't been quite that blunt, but basically they believe that the welfare of the whole is more important than the welfare of individuals.
Why don't the North Korean people rebel?
because they have no opportunity to organize, because they lack information about alternatives to what they have experienced. And the indoctrination is very, very extensive and pervasive. So a lot of people probably buy into the ideology. And finally, they're being watched at all times. Everybody in North Korea has to belong to one of their mass organizations, you know, like the Women's Union or the Workers' Union or the Peasants' Union or the Youth Union. There are five of these, and there's 100% participation in the North Korean population. And so you have to do these weekly indoctrination sessions. You have to go to self-criticism weekly. So somebody's looking over you all the time. You know, this is extraordinary when you compare it to the Soviet Union, where maybe 20% of the population belonged to these kinds of organizations. Mm. And in North Korea, it's 100%.
Wow. What about the impact of this UN report? China is still supporting North Korea. As you mentioned, there's a lot of internal controls within North Korea. What kind of effect could the UN report have to change the game?
Well, North Korea is going to blow it off, and they already have, of course, and to say, you know, it's politicization, it's none of your business, we're a sovereign country, and so forth. So they're not going to do anything as a result of the report. China may respond somewhat. They've never responded in the past, but China's important for a lot of reasons. One of the issues is that North Korean refugees in China are often sent back to North Korea, where they're executed or put in prison or whatever. And China has always denied that North Korean refugees are anything but economic migrants, because if they recognized them as refugees, they'd have to accept them in China. And so China's very involved with the world. They care what the world thinks. They have trade with the rest of the world. And so it seems to me that's a direction that might be helpful.
But can China really signal that to North Korea? I mean, if anything that might encourage more North Koreans to flee North Korea creates more of a refugee problem in China.
Right. China is very concerned about it because there's an ethnic Korean population of about 2 million who lives right on the border with North Korea. And they're very concerned about border populations that have a country on the other side of the border. And so they've been careful to send ethnic Chinese into that region. There's a Yanbian Autonomous Region, which is ethnically Korean, or was 90% Korean in 1945. It's about half Korean now. So they don't want more migration into that area for political reasons.
Now, I've heard that many more North Koreans have some access to the outside world, that their view is not quite as insular as it used to be. They're watching South Korean television, so they're seeing that the proclamations of the government that North Korea was the greatest country in the world maybe are ringing a little bit hollow now. Is there any sign that that glimmer of openness is having any impact on the inside?
I would say yes, but it's very, very minimal. You don't see organized resistance in North Korea. I haven't heard of any organized resistance in North Korea. But what you see now are everyday forms of resistance. Gold bricking is the most common one. That's been probably going on for 50 years. But you also see there's a very interesting documentary that was done by public television that showed footage that had been smuggled out of North Korea. You can see people doing private, they're called subita, they're service vehicles that are businesses that are transporting people. And when the army tries to stop them, they push the army out of the way. I've seen footage where a woman is wearing pants, and women are not supposed to wear pants in North Korea. And they hassle her about it, and she just fights back.
Small signs of
Yeah, so
rebellion.
These are everyday forms of resistance, and that would be the first stage.
In the hermit kingdom of North Korea. Clark Sorensen, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
Clark Sorensen directs the Center for Korean Studies at the University of Washington's Jackson School. Monday, a report from the United Nations came out detailing the systematic and widespread human rights violations in North Korea. This is The Record on KUOW.